Greetings of love and peace to all of you, friends, brothers, sisters, whoever you are, wherever you are as you listen to this message. In a recent small group Bible study, we read the 15th chapter of Romans, and one verse really caught my attention again, and I want to share that with you this morning. Use it as sort of a springboard from which to launch this message. The verse I'm referring to is verse 13 in Romans chapter 15. Here is the verse. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if you've ever noticed the fact that our God is called the God of hope. For our message this morning, I want to share some thoughts with you about hope, the importance of having hope in our lives, and how we can increase our hope. Take another look at this verse here in Romans 15. Not only is our God the God of hope, but our God wants us to be filled with joy and peace, and he wants us to abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If I could ask you right now, would you say that you are filled with joy and peace, and that you are abounding in hope? I checked a few other translations to see how they translate this verse, and I like the J.B. Phillips translation. Listen to this translation of verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope. Isn't it wonderful that our God wants to fill us? Notice that term, fill us. He doesn't want us to just have a little bit of joy and peace, but he wants us to be full of joy and peace. Then he wants our whole life and outlook to be radiant with hope. I wonder how many of us could honestly say that our lives are full of joy and peace, and that our whole life and outlook is radiant with hope. That's a pretty lofty goal, isn't it? But I think we would all agree that this is what God wants us to experience, and I pray that this message may help at least a little bit to nudge us in that direction, to experience all that God has for us in this area of hope. We want to begin with a few thoughts about the importance of having hope, and then conclude with some further thoughts on ways in which we can grow in this very important aspect of our lives. Just yesterday, as I opened my post, I came across a newsletter from the Christian Unions of Ireland. This is an organization that seeks to bring the gospel to college and university students all over Ireland. I was struck with the opening statement in this newsletter. I suppose it especially caught my attention because of studying for this message, but here's how the newsletter begins. Dear friend, I feel incredibly sad for this generation of students. They are the most anxious generation in living memory. They are pessimistic about the future and hopeless in their personal lives. They live their whole lives inside out on social media, insecure, and always comparing. This is a lost generation. What especially struck me was the statement that these students are pessimistic about the future, and did you notice this term? They are hopeless in their personal lives. We're living in a day when many, many people are without hope. They simply see no future for themselves. And obviously, when a person has no hope for the future, there is a strong temptation to take their own life. Having no hope is one of the main causes of suicide. Even before COVID-19 came on the scene, the suicide rate in Ireland was increasing at an alarming rate. In just 1 year's time, from 2018 to 2019, the rate of suicide in Ireland increased by almost 20%. And now we wonder what the rate will be this year with all the extra stress and difficulties brought on by COVID-19. We all know that a person cannot live very long without food or water, and even less time without oxygen to breathe. But did you know that a person also cannot live without hope? Hope is as vital to our well-being as food and water and air are to our bodies. I want to share with you a true story which illustrates the difference that hope can make in our lives. The story is about a lady named Florence Chadwick. Florence Chadwick was born in San Diego, California on November 9, 1918. She grew up on the beach and began competing as a swimmer at the age of 6. At age 11, Florence won first place in a 6 mile race across the choppy waters of the San Diego Bay Channel in her hometown. When she was 13, she came in second at the U.S. National Championships. For the next 19 years, Florence continued as a competitive swimmer. She was the first woman to swim across the English Channel, from England to France, and she swam back also from France to England, both ways. The story we want to share with you took place on the 4th of July, 1952, when Florence was 34 years old. This was a day when she attempted to become the first woman to swim the 21 miles across the Catalina Channel from Catalina Island to Palos Verdes on the California coast. The weather that day was challenging because the ocean was ice cold and the fog was so thick she could barely see the support boats that followed her. The tides and the current were against her. To make matters worse, sharks were in the area. But at daybreak, she decided to go forward anyway, expecting the fog to lift any time. Hour after hour, Florence swam. The fog never lifted. Her mother and her trainer followed her in one of the support boats, encouraging her to keep going. Members of the support crew fired rifles at the sharks to drive them away, and she kept going and going. At about the 15-hour point, she began to doubt whether she could finish it. She told her mother she didn't think she could make it. Her mother kept encouraging her to keep going, telling her she's almost there. But finally, after swimming for 15 hours and 55 minutes, she felt she had to stop. And so with huge disappointment, she asked her support team to take her out of the water. Because of the fog, she could not see the coastline. She had no idea how close she was. She soon found out that she was actually not very far from the shore. She could certainly have reached it if she had just kept swimming for a little bit longer. Now here's the part that relates to this message this morning. Florence was talking to a reporter afterward, and she said this, "Look, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could just have seen the shore, I know I could have made it." Let me say that again. If I could just have seen the shore, I know I could have made it. The fog had made her unable to see her goal. It felt to her like she was getting nowhere. 2 months later, Florence tried that swim again, and although the fog was just as dense, this time she kept going. Again, she could not see the shoreline because of the fog, but she learned to picture the shore in her mind and determined to keep going. And in 13 hours and 47 minutes, she reached the shore, broke a 27-year-old record by more than 2 hours, and became the first woman ever to complete that swim. The title for our message this morning is Seeing the Shore. Seeing the Shore. I don't know what your situation is as you listen to this message today, but I do know that this year of 2020 has in some ways seemed like we may be swimming in the fog. A time when it has been difficult to see the way ahead or to see the shoreline which we want to land on. And just like Florence Chadwick experienced, if we can't see the shoreline, if we lose sight of where we're headed, there's a strong temptation to feel like giving up, especially when the going gets hard and the struggle to keep going becomes almost more than we can bear. That's what Florence experienced in her first try to swim across that channel in the ice-cold water and in the fog. She became so exhausted, and when she couldn't see the shore to which she was headed, she finally gave up and asked to be pulled out of the water. The next time she tried, the water was still cold, the fog was still there, but she learned to picture the shore in her mind even when she couldn't see it with her eyes. She knew it was there even if she couldn't see it. And this picture in her mind enabled her to keep going until she actually reached the shore. Now this morning, I trust that none of us are swimming in ice-cold water trying to reach the distant shore. But I'm thinking of how the Bible presents our time here in this life as being on a journey. We all know that our time here is temporary and uncertain. We know we are only passing through And sooner or later, we will be called out of this life, and we will enter our eternal destiny. And as we face the realities and the challenges of day-to-day living, sometimes this journey gets to be quite difficult, and we may be tempted to give up in despair or discouragement. The burden of this message is to renew our hope, to help us picture the shore in our mind when the fog gets to be so dense that we can't see the way ahead. The Bible is full of many examples of people who have gone the way before us and have left a tremendous example for us to follow. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and we will read a few verses here which tell us about some of these people. Hebrews chapter 11. We begin reading in verse 13. It starts by saying, "These all died in faith." And it says, "these all," it's referring to the people that were mentioned in the preceding verses, and people, that's people like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, these people of faith. "These all," it says in verse 13, "died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return." But it's saying they didn't do that. But now, verse 16, "they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." Now, here we're given the picture of people who were on a journey. They were keenly aware of the fact that they were simply traveling through this land, pressing on toward a better country, an eternal home. And it was this assurance, this anticipation in their hearts that kept them going forward to reach that heavenly home. You know, the Bible never presents the Christian life as something that is easy or automatic. One of the dangers of our affluent society here in Western culture, with so many comforts of life, is that we forget how to suffer. We forget how to accept things that are difficult. We forget the value of a disciplined life. And so when hardships come our way, when things get to be a bit difficult, we soon feel like giving up. We get discouraged. We wonder where God is in all of this. The truth is that when these difficulties come our way, when the fog seems to blow into our life, obscuring the way ahead, it's actually a call from God to draw our mind to Him and to remind us that we are pilgrims and strangers here, traveling toward our eternal home. I'd like to just pause here a moment and repeat this truth. Try to let it sink into our minds. Times of difficulty, times of hardship, times of suffering are a call from God to turn our mind to Him so that our confidence is not in us, but in Him. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 9, you can turn to that as you have time. We won't take time for it here, but that's what he said. Their troubles were so that they would have no confidence in themselves, but in God. The truth is that God often does his best work in us during peddles the notion that our desires exist for immediate satisfaction. When we buy into that lie, we confuse the present age with that which is to come. In this life, God is not in the business of fulfilling every dream that we have for our life here. His dreams are far bigger than that. His dreams are to prepare us for eternity, where our wildest dreams will truly be fulfilled, far more than we can ever imagine here. And in the inscrutable wisdom of God, this means that sometimes our dreams in this life will need to be dissolved to make way for the eternal purposes God has for us. But now, the truth is that while all of this is happening in our lives, We have an enemy. The enemy of our soul is always right there to try to draw our mind into the opposite direction, to try to make us think that God has forgotten us. There is no use to keep on trying. And so we may be tempted to seek an easier way, to go the way of least resistance, to just go with the flow, as it were. Yes, sometimes there is an easier route. Sometimes we can choose to give up the battle and just go back home, as it were, and enjoy the comforts of home, the easy life. Look with me again at verse 15 here in Hebrews 11. Do you see what it says? It says that these people who confess that they were strangers and pilgrims here on this earth, traveling toward a better place, could have returned to the place that they came from if they would have wanted to. But they knew that they wanted something better, it says. They wanted something more enduring. So they pressed forward until they finally reached their goal, that heavenly country, that far-off shore that they kept in their sights as they traveled through this land of hardship and difficulties. And so our goal this morning is to renew our hope in Jesus, to help us picture the shoreline in our mind, even if we can't see it with our eyes, and to keep pressing onward and upward until we reach that goal, both for ourselves and for our children and for others who may be following us. Now, let's talk about hope for a bit here. What is hope, anyway? Is it merely wishful thinking, like saying that, I hope it doesn't rain today? No, hope is much more than wishful thinking. The dictionary says that hope means to anticipate something, usually with pleasure, expectation, or confidence. It means to expect with confidence and to cherish a desire with anticipation. The opposite of hope, by the way, is dejection, hopelessness, and despair. Again, hope is the belief, the firm assurance that something beneficial is to come. The assurance that what is currently seen is not the end of the story, but that something greater is ahead. Hope becomes the fuel for the weary and downcast to dare to believe that the sun will indeed come out again, even when our emotions are telling us that it will never shine again. Hope is the faith that God does indeed have plans for us and that they are good plans. People who study the emotions and how they affect our responses to certain situations have found that hope really comes into its own, or really comes into play, when crisis situations confront us. Doctors have found that people who are battling a serious illness significantly improve their chances of recovery if they have a positive, hopeful outlook. And so I trust we can agree that having a hopeful outlook is extremely important for all of us. Without hope, there is simply no good way to move forward and upward with our lives. But now, suppose we don't have much hope at all. Suppose everything does seem dark, does seem hopeless, is very difficult. It seems the sun will never actually shine again, or that we will never truly be happy again. We may be like Florence Chadwick, stuck in an icy cold situation, surrounded by dense fog, unable to see any goal that lies before us. What can we do? How can we find new hope to keep on going? I want to give you three suggestions, three steps, briefly here, for renewing your hope if you find yourself in a very dark and difficult times. These are not just copied out of a book, but there are tried and proven steps that I have personally experienced. I can assure you they can be extremely helpful in renewing our hope in God. The first one is to seek the heart of God. Seriously, earnestly, draw near to God. This means spending time alone with God in prayer. It means seriously taking his word into your heart and claiming his promises for your very own. Something that I found very helpful was to take a psalm, like Psalm 27, for example, and I memorized it, I internalized it, I made it my very own, that the promises in it were meant for me personally. and it really changed my heart. I would suggest go out into the woods, wherever you can, to be alone with God for hours at a time if possible. Commune with God. The Bible promises us that when we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. And this is very true. Seek the heart of God. The second point is to be patient. All good things take time. A mushroom can sprout up overnight, but it takes many years to grow a mighty oak. The quick fix is simply that, a quick fix, and it doesn't last. It might make you feel better for a bit, but if we want the very best in our life, here and in the life to come, we really need to take the long view of things. Having hope requires patience. It requires faith in God that He will work things out for the best. As He promises in Romans 8:28, you probably remember that verse. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. So I repeat, renewing our hope requires patience, allowing God to work things out as He sees best. When the right time comes, He will bring it to pass. Probably not when we wish He would, but when He sees it's the right time. My dear friend, do you trust God enough to wait on His timing? Be patient. It takes time. And the third one is to listen to the wisdom of others. God has designed the church for this purpose. We are here to help each other, especially through dark and difficult times in life. If you are in a dark time in life, you can be sure that you are not the first person to go through such a difficult time. Sometimes it feels to us as if we are the only one who has experienced this, that nobody else can possibly understand how we feel, because they have surely not been in such a difficult place as we are. But I beg you to listen to what I'm saying. If you want to stay discouraged and defeated and without hope, you can dwell on these feelings that tell you that nobody can understand how you feel. Nobody else has experienced what you've experienced, and so that means nobody can help you come to a place of new hope and victory in your life. You know, that is your choice. You can choose to shut other people out because you're so sure they can never understand you or help you. And you will stay discouraged and defeated and without hope. But I trust you don't want to do that. If you really want to find a way to renew your hope and your peace and your joy in life, I beg you to listen to the wisdom of other people, people who love you and want to help you. Don't be afraid to ask for help, and don't be too proud to admit that you need help. Open your heart to trusted friends who love you and who love God. You will be amazed at what a blessing it is to have true friends to walk this journey with you. Listen to the wisdom of others. And now, to wrap this all up, dear brother, sister, friend, whoever you are, wherever you are, if you woke up today with unrealized dreams, you're in good company. We are all on this journey together with you. Whatever your situation is today, whether you are humbled or exalted, whether you are in plenty or in hunger, in comfort or in pain, God knows what He's doing. In Christ, your situation and my situation in life are not an accident. At this very moment, we are being formed for life with Jesus in that land where desires are satisfied and dreams come true beyond our wildest imagination. And now I want to share one more thing in closing. I want to share a poem with you, a poem that was written by Annie Johnson Flint. Some of you will probably remember that name. She wrote a number of hymns that we still sing today. Sometime I may tell you more of her story, but we're running out of time, so we need to leave that for another day. For now, I will only say this, that Annie's parents died when she was very young. So she grew up as an orphan, never knowing her mother and father's love. Then when she was still in school, she developed a painful arthritis, crippling arthritis, which eventually crippled her to the extent that she spent the last 40 years of her life in bed in almost constant pain. But from that bed of pain and heartache, Annie wrote poems and hymns that have blessed countless thousands of people to this very day. Here's a poem that I leave with you in closing this message, and I pray it will be a blessing to your heart. It's called The Set of the Sail by Annie Johnson Flint. I stood on the shore beside the sea. The wind from the west blew fresh and free. Well, past the rocks at the harbor's mouth, the ships went north and the ships went south. And some sailed out on an unknown quest, and some sailed into the harbor's rest. Yet ever the wind blew out of the west. I said to one who had sailed the sea that this was a marvel unto me, for how can the ships go safely forth, some to the south and some to the north, far out to sea on their golden quest, or in to the harbor's calm and rest, and ever the wind blow out of the west? The sailor smiled as he answered me, go where you will when you're on the sea. Though headwinds baffle and flaws delay, you can keep the course by night and day. Drive with the breeze or against the gale, it will not matter what winds prevail, for all depends on the set of the sail. O voyager soul on the sea of life, or winds of sorrow and sin and strife, when fogs bewilder and foes betray, steer straight on your course from day to day. Though unseen currents run deep and swift, where rocks are hidden and sandbars shift, all helpless and aimless, you need not drift. Oh, set your sail to the heavenly gale, and then no matter what winds prevail, no reef shall wreck you, no calm delay, no mist shall hinder, no storm shall stay. Though far you wander and long you roam, through salt sea spray or white sea foam, no wind that can blow but shall speed you home. It all depends on the set of the sail. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, our God of hope, we thank you that you want to fill us with joy and peace and hope. Lord, we pray you'll bless this word to our hearts and renew hope within us. Open our eyes to see the shore that is in the distance, even if the fog hides it, that by faith we can see what those who've gone on before us so faithfully have seen as they pressed onward faithfully toward that distant shore. I pray for every person under the sound of my voice who hears this message, Lord, that you'd meet us where we are, some in deep sorrow and distress, sometimes not knowing the way ahead. Lord, I pray for renewed hope and faith and assurance that you are with us and you will be our God even until death, even into eternity. We pray for your blessing in each life. In Jesus' name, amen.